Good morning, friends. It is again with real joy that we come to another week of broadcasting the Word of God. It is our great desire that your hunger for the Word of God may be increased and that your capacity for the Word of God may be enlarged. It's a wonderful thing that the Spirit of God has not left us to our own ingenuity, our own ability or brilliancy, but the Spirit of God is the one who takes the truth and makes it to live in us. I trust that these days your own heart may be exercised and, shall I say, filled with joy because of the revelation of his beloved Son to us in his Word as we go from book to book in the New Testament. As you know, we're going through a brief series of studies on every book in the New Testament. We've taken Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we are now in the Gospel through John. In our last lesson, we were taking up John chapter 3. We'll be discussing Christ the Savior. In these first 24 first verses of this chapter, there is given to us the teaching by our Savior concerning the new birth. We had the need for it, and then we have the nature of the new birth. It means to be a partaker of divine nature. The method of the new birth is to be born of water and of the Spirit. And how to receive the new birth is by putting our trust in Him. That's why the Lord Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And again, I would emphasize the fact that the study of the Word of God without the Spirit of God leads to rationalism. And the study of the Spirit of God without the Word of God leads to fanaticism. How we need to be balanced these days, and God has given to us the balance. His method is the Spirit of God using the Word of God to open hearts. And my friend, if you have come just as you are and have accepted, put your trust in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, then you're born from above, born of the Spirit and born of the Word. Now we come to the rest of chapter 3 of John. And from verses 18 to 21, we have the opposition to the new birth. And this is from the powers of darkness. And if you notice in those verses, men prefer darkness to light. They prefer sin to grace. And the reason for the condemnation upon men is not because so much that they're bad or that they're great sinners, but because they do not believe in the only begotten Son of God. This is the issue today. The issue, my friend, is not being religious or irreligious, being good or bad. The issue is Jesus Christ. Just like Pilate said, what shall I then do with Jesus who is called the Christ? They had their choice, and they said, crucify him, away with him, we don't want him. We will not have this man to reign over us. They chose the powers of darkness to the powers of light. I repeat it, they chose death instead of life. And so you have the opposition to the new birth is from the powers of darkness manifested to those who believe not. Now in the rest of the chapter 3 of John, there is given to us the last testimony of John the Baptist. And in here we see something of the preeminence of Christ. Those precious verses of John when they try to get John jealous of Jesus. Do you remember his answer? He must increase, I must decrease. And if I might suggest this, he does not increase when we decrease. It's the other way around. When he increases, we decrease. The more he comes into our hearts, the more self goes out. It's a wonderful thing, this. To put the Lord Jesus Christ as the center of your attraction, center of devotion, center of your love and affection. And I must love John the Baptist here, if I might say this word. In chapter 1, he's willing to give up his own disciples to follow Jesus. It's a rare preacher who was willing to tell his own people, you go and hear somebody else, they'll tell you more about the Savior than I can. I see I love John the Baptist in this connection, where he gave up his disciples when he said to them, behold the Lamb of God, and they left John and followed Jesus. Now in chapter 3, this man who was a worshiper, this man who was willing to take the lower place. Indeed, he had said that he was not fit to even tie the shoelaces of our Savior. He must increase. I must decrease. And again I say, the more Jesus Christ becomes the object of your affection and devotion, the more self and egotism go out the window. May God grant we can say honestly with John, he must increase and I must decrease. And then you have the preeminence of Christ, more than likely spoken of by John the Apostle, from verse 31 to the end of the passage, where we have the divine origin of our Savior. He's from above all. He's heavenly. And then you have his heavenly testimony. And then you have his heavenly authority. And my friend, to receive the testimony of the Son is to acknowledge that the Father is true. And here is a clear-cut separation between the saved and the unsaved. For the chapter ends, he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Sad thing this, and yet it's true, a tremendous separation between the believers and the unbelievers. God has made that separation. And the more you and I walk with Christ, the more he increases, the more we realize that there is a tremendous difference between those who are trusting the Savior and those who are not trusting the Savior. Just as much a difference as there is between light and darkness, between life and death, between the Son of God and the devil. Oh, I just trust that you are trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. Now when we come to chapter 4, remember the great division of John. The first four chapters, he is dealing with individuals. In chapter 1, you have Andrew and Peter and Philip and Nathanael and John the Baptist and so on. In chapter 2, you have his mother. In chapter 3, you have Nicodemus. Now in chapter 4, we have the wonderful story of our Savior being the water of life. And he meets with a Samaritan woman, a woman who was a sinner. And before I take it up, may I suggest this? You will notice that in chapter 3, Nicodemus needed a revelation of himself, whereas the woman needed a revelation of God. She had no hope of the flesh. She was bad. She had given up hope of being good. What she needed was a revelation of the heart and character and love of God. You know, if we were doing it, we would be different. What we would do if we were doing it, I think we would talk to the unsaved, to the man in the street, to the man who's down and out, the man who's really in sin. We would preach to him the new birth. And of course, if you're going to talk about the Godhead, this theological discussion on the Godhead, we talk to Nicodemus, a ruler, a religious leader. Jesus didn't do it. What Nicodemus needed was a true picture of himself. Nicodemus needed to be taught and told that he was born wrong, except a man be born again. But to a poor Samaritan woman who went out to the well in the middle of the day when nobody else was there, why didn't she go with the other women? No, she was an outcast, more than likely. In fact, the story tells us that she was a woman who was rather loose in her morals and wasn't accepted by society. And she needed a revelation of God. She already knew what she was, what she needed to know what God was. So in chapter 4, you have Jesus Christ revealed as the one who is the water of life. Now it's a remarkable thing that in the chapter, there are three revelations. There's a revelation of the Father, there's the revelation of the Son, there's the revelation of the woman. You all know the story more than likely. In the first 8 verses, you have the occasion where Jesus Christ must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there was a hungry, sinful woman there needing to be brought into touch with God. And then you have the lesson given to us. The topic of conversation, you remember, was water. Jesus made the first move and he said to her, "Woman, give me a drink." And she said, "What do you mean, you a Jew asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink? And especially me, a woman?" Whoever heard of the thing? Whoever heard the like? Ah, woman, if you knew who was talking to you, you would ask of him. He would give you living water. Well, where have you got it? The well's deep. The well's very deep. You have nothing to draw with. Where have you got this living water? And Jesus said, he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But he that drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. It'll be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Sir, give me this water. Now you see, he has her interest. He has her interest. She was interested in getting water, so he just talked about water. That was a good place to start. If I'm talking to you who like to do personal work, may I suggest this is a good place to start. Start where the other man is. When the Apostle Paul went down to Athens in Acts chapter 17, he started where they were. And I want to say to you, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ can meet you whatever your need may be. This woman needed water, but she needed more than that. She needed living water. And you know how the story ends? She came with a water pot to get water. And when she left Jesus Christ, she left her water pot, and she became the living pot full of living water and became a missionary for him. Wonderful thing this, by the way. As you think through this passage, the topic of conversation was living water. And you and I can feast upon the things of the world and never get satisfied. Someone has well said that one half of the world is trying to amuse the other half of the world. We run from pillar to post. The man of the world, he dances one night and goes to a show the next night, and Dean Oz may be playing poker the next night. But we'll go from one thing to the other trying to find satisfaction, and sooner or later they all peter out. You get no satisfaction out of them. They're empty, empty wells. They're clouds without water. What you need is reality. And this dear woman found reality in Jesus Christ. For he said, he that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. All that the world offers you doesn't satisfy your thirst. But Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. My friend, have you drank of this blessed water? Jesus Christ said, I am the water. I'll give you a well, a running spring, never dries up. He can always satisfy the cravings of your heart and give to you that which the world and the flesh cannot give you, real peace, real satisfaction, fitting you for the presence of God. Why not accept him today as your own personal Savior?